Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You're only as good as your word, and he stands by his.
This is The Roy Green Show.
I'm on Twitter at The Roy Green Show. Follow me there at The Roy Green Show. You have to see the photograph of Michelle Rempel when she was on the show talking to me yesterday. Michelle tweeted it out at Michelle Rempel sitting on the floor in the airport talking to me, and I've retweeted it. There's been a lot of reaction to it. And we got our phones fixed. See, because this apparently has been going on for a few days. So the handset, I have to tell the story. The handset in the master control unit wasn't working properly, and the call screener couldn't speak to anybody unless he held the cable or the phone cord like 3-4 feet off the floor or off the table, and that didn't work too well, and then it just quit. So I said to them, it's been going on for a few days, so I said to them, why don't you just change out the handset with the one that I have here in the talk studio? I don't need the phone, manual phone. So they did, and it works. And I just want all the brilliant engineers and management of the radio station in Hamilton, where this show originates, to know, you're lucky I'm still here. How did you people not think of this? It's not rocket science. I deserve a bonus. 31% of Americans, approximately 100 million, told Rasmussen reports that they expect the United States to be embroiled in a second civil war and sooner than later. There were more anti-Donald Trump protests by his opponents in the United States yesterday, and Hillary Clinton has again spoken out against the president of the United States, claiming the U.S. will be reclaimed from Donald Trump. Fran Coombs is the managing editor of Rasmussen Reports, and he joins us on The Roy Green Show on the Chorus Radio Network on Canada Day. Fran, thank you for taking the time, and this sounds serious.
Oh, no doubt about it, Roy. I mean, obviously the level of political emotion, if you will, in the country is very high. But I was amused by the Hillary Clinton's comments. We actually did a survey earlier in the week. We asked people, would America be better off today if Hillary Clinton had been elected president in 2016? And only 40% of people said that, yes, America would be better off with Hillary as president. 47% said no, and the rest were undecided, which means they probably think no. And Ms. Clinton is not missed by Americans.
No, I mean, she should just go away.
Please.
Really. She should just go away. And I saw something else that during the prep for the second debate with Donald Trump, apparently during the during those preparation segments, she dropped the F-bomb quite a few times. So that was a story in a British newspaper. So I guess she's just emotionally invested, and she needs to go away. But Fran, if you've got 30% or 31% of Americans believing another civil war is going to happen in the United States, speak to that, please, from the perspective of someone who watches very closely what's happening in the United States, and you've reported on it for years before you became the managing editor of Rasmussen.
Right. Well, I mean, we have seen a great deal of unhappiness with the federal government for ages, Roy. I mean, you go back to the Ross-Perot candidacy back that basically cost George Bush, the first George Bush, a second term. You look at, you've seen it all along on both sides. You've seen Ralph Nader in 2000, who took the election away from Gore. And the Tea Party, of course, in the Obama years. There's been a growing segment of the country that is very unhappy with the with the trend toward big government. And Trump is the manifestation of that. I mean, Trump is neither a Republican nor a Democrat. He's the first independent president we've probably ever had.
So when this 31% of Americans believe another civil war is going to happen, what are we talking about? Are we talking about urban violence, such as we saw in Baltimore, happening in numerous urban cities or urban areas in the U.S.? Are we talking about armies facing off against one another? What's the expectation?
All right. Well, first of all, it's 31% who say it's likely that the United States will experience a second civil war sometime in the next 5 years. Of that 31%, only 11% says it's very likely. So those are the people, that's where the rubber really hits the road. But if you look deeper in that survey, what we see is 59% of people are concerned that the anti-Trumpers, if you will resort to political violence. 53% are concerned that people critical of Trump's coverage by the media will resort to violence. So obviously both sides are very concerned about what I mentioned earlier, which is the hyper level of political emotion in the country. And of course, in recent weeks, you've seen everything from people being pushed out of restaurants to Maxine Waters up there and practically calling for violence against Trump staffers. So the rhetoric is cranking up also.
Yeah, I think back to Baltimore, Fran, and the question that I have, and I suppose I probably know the answer to this, but if it's a flashpoint event in a large urban area which sets people off, and for example, in the northeastern United States, and then there's a response on the West Coast, and I'm thinking Oakland would probably be one place where the response may initially occur, because that's what happened when Baltimore erupted, then you could have just a series of dominoes. I hope this doesn't happen, but you could have a series of dominoes falling, and you could be back to 1968 or worse.
Right. Well, there's no question that, I mean, I think what mitigates against that, Roy, is the improving economy. I mean, that's the big thing that the anti-Trumpers can't reconcile themselves with, is the reality of low unemployment, rising salaries. Meanwhile, Trump seems to be doing a pretty good job overseas. So there are a lot of, when you look back to the 60s, in the inner city, there was a lot of economic dissatisfaction, a lot of high unemployment. Much like the situation, say, in Iran, when the folks were in the embassy, you had a lot of men, you had a lot of young men, a lot of testosterone that wasn't being channeled into anything. There's a lot less of that in the United States today. And I think also, realistically, you know, we're not looking at an 1860 situation where the federal government is going to be marching into states. And also, face it, people don't feel an allegiance to the states like they did back when our previous Civil War, when the southern states felt like they were being invaded by the North.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if, and I don't want to carry this too far, but I wonder if the anti-Trumpers might try to engineer something.
I wouldn't say it's out of the question. I think a lot of the political nastiness that we see out there, particularly driven by social media, are paid trolls, Soros-funded type operations and things like that. I would not be surprised at all if those folks are out there. They're on the payroll looking for petty controversies to blow up and have everybody gabbing about on Facebook and elsewhere.
You know, when we look around the world, there are so many locations, so many countries globally, where there's just a fatigue with dealing with the same old, same old. It's a fatigue of dealing with people who have asked you for a job, and when they get the job, they then start to tell you what to do and accuse you of being racist or accuse you of being something or other that you know you're not. They overtax. They just push people around. And I think we reached the tipping point about 2 years ago, and it's now going in a direction that those who have been in the elites cannot stop any longer.
Right, and I think you're absolutely correct, and that's what Trump's election was all about, and that's why, as I was saying earlier, Trump's neither a Republican nor a Democrat. As mm-hmm. we recall, the establishments of both parties tried to stop him. He had to basically defeat the Bush machine and then the Clinton machine to get elected president. So the traditional elites in this city from both parties that were doing very well, whether they were in or out of party, suddenly found no place for themselves at the table once Trump was in office. And I think a lot of these people, regardless of their party affiliation, are on the same side, and Trump's bad for their business.
The anti-Trump parades and the anti-Trump protests and the activities that have been going on, some of them yesterday, how many people are actually involved, and how much of an impression do you think that those that they are making on the overall American populace?
Well, to be honest with you, I believe it was Bill Clinton's campaign, and which I'm sure you recall, Roy, which said it's the economy, stupid.
Yep.
And I think at the end of the day, the loudmouths always get more publicity.
Sure they do.
Let's
yeah.
be honest.
Yep.
I mean, you know, the people that are always screaming about police brutality or what have you, they always get more ink. But yeah, every time we survey, Americans overwhelmingly think the cops are doing a great job. They overwhelmingly think in these police shooting incidents, for example, that the police are not to blame. Trump's approval numbers are better than Obama's were at this stage. 43% of people think the country's headed in the right direction. During Obama's final year, that was in like the mid-20s. Most of the indicators suggest that a sizable number of Americans are very happy with the way things are going. But you know as well as I do, the media doesn't cover good news.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see the front page of your newspaper covered with good news stories. You see, what's the old line about if it bleeds, it reads?
Yep.
That's the kind of stuff the media wants to report. They want to report people that are complaining.
Yeah, I mean, I saw something about there was a protest in Canada yesterday. It might have been the one in Toronto, and a huge headline, and then turned out there were 150 people involved. So,
oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, we had the thing here, the anti-gun thing. It was called the Million Woman March, and that thing had like a few thousand people, but it was routinely referred to as the Million Woman March.
What worried me, Fran, when I thought the United States might be on the brink of something extremely nasty as far as civil unrest is concerned, is when police officers were being shot and killed almost on a daily basis. And when the situation in Dallas erupted, I thought, this could go really badly south in a hurry. And then it turned out that Dallas has such a positive municipal infrastructure or relationship with the people of the city who run the city, with the people of the city, that everybody kind of started pulling together. And that was, I think, diffused what potentially could have been a very serious situation.
Right. Well, and we know a lot, you know, face it, a lot of, look at, I mean, Baltimore, which is right up the road from us here. I mean, look what a mess Baltimore is. I mean, Baltimore is the personification of liberal democratic rule. Okay, there hasn't been a Republican running Baltimore in decades, okay? What's happened up there, okay? We had the infamous Freddie Gray case, and immediately the cops started backing off. They thought, hey, you know, this is ridiculous. If we try to enforce the law, the only thing we can do is either get killed or get sued. So the cops started backing off. Self-protection. You know, they won't say that for the record, but that's obviously what's happened. And, of course, the murder rate for Baltimore now is soaring to record levels.
Mm-hmm.
The danger is not in suburbia. The danger is, that level of danger does not exist most places in America. It exists in Chicago. It exists in Baltimore, cities which, you know, places, interestingly enough, which have some of the most stringent gun control laws in the country. But, you know, America, by and large, is a pretty darn safe place.
If something does erupt, if it does go south, if it does become an urban challenge or a violent challenge or over a period of time, you know, it's all going to be Donald Trump's fault.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, listen, I'd be lying if I said, if we had, you know, massive urban unrest like we had in the late 60s, say, following Martin Luther King's assassination, mm-hmm. and Trump sent in the troops, we might see some pretty nasty violence. I think ultimately the forces of law and order would win out. But, I mean, obviously the other side is cranking their people up to the max and forgiving them for any wrongdoing. You obviously are familiar with the story about Trump's press secretary and her family group being basically pushed out of the restaurant.
At the Red Hen.
Yeah, at the Red Hen. Now, can you imagine if a gay wedding party had come in and the people had said, look, for religious reasons, the staff doesn't want to serve you. You're welcome to come back individually. We'd love to have you as guests, but for religious reasons, we can't serve your group, a gay wedding party group. Can you imagine the uproar in the media over that?
Yeah, it would have been.
You know, it's just, and people see that. I think people, by and large, see that hypocrisy, and incidents like that speak volumes more than anything that comes out of Maxine Waters' mouth.
Fran, thank you so much for joining us on Canada Day, and a couple of days early, but happy 4th of July.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. You take care.
Thanks. Frank Coombs is the managing editor of Rasmussen Reports, and they predicted the victory of Donald Trump in 2016, shortly after I did. It's true. Anyway, it's an alarming number. It's an alarming number. 31% of Americans believe they expect the United States to be embroiled in a second civil war within the next 5 years. 11%, as Fran said, are absolutely convinced of that. If it's 11%, it's still over 30 million people. That's almost the entire population of Canada. If it's 30%, then we're talking about 100 million people. And they're right across the border. 1-800-263-2428 is the number. 1-800-263-2428 is my number. Do you believe we may witness serious civil unrest among our American neighbors, sometimes just miles from where we live in Canada? And if that happens, who would be responsible? As far as you're concerned, would it be Trump? Or would it be the anti-Trumpers? Would it be the left? Or would it be the right? This is serious stuff. If it happens, who would really ultimately, do you think, be responsible, the left or the right? 1-800-263-2428. We'll come back.
One of the most respected and experienced broadcasters in the industry. This is the Roy Green Show.
Send your emails to roy@roygreenshow.com. So, are you concerned about possible civil war in the United States, with 30% of Americans telling Rasmussen they expect that to happen within 5 years? 11% are very sure that it will in fact take place. And who would be to blame, the left or the right? William is in Toronto. William, thank you for the call, sir. Please go ahead.
I think there's a civil unrest is coming forth. And I'll just give an example. If you go to the court system, you're not going to get justice. The court system has fallen apart. And if that takes place, continues to keep on taking place like it is, as I see it, then people are going to start taking the law into their own hands, and there's going to be civil unrest. And the police department are just not doing their job as they're supposed to. And it's a real breakdown in all the essential services that people rely on. So
you don't, if you look back to 1992, that's what happened with the Rodney King verdict in Los Angeles.
The same thing might happen on a larger scale this time around.
Thank you for the call. That was an awful. I mean, the riot in Los Angeles. I just saw a program on it again. It was a revisit of what took place. It was horrible. And it was because Rodney King, who was just so viciously beaten by these L.A. cops, who got off when they never should have. But they got off. And that set off the community. Margaret is in Whitby, Ontario. Hi, Margaret. What do you think is going to happen in the United States?
Well, I'm very, very concerned about what's happening in the United States and in Canada. And I feel we are living in a time when I feel very worried. I'm worried.
Why? What worries you?
Well, what worries me is us not getting a NAFTA deal. And I can tell you, I don't care if Stephen Harper or who it is. If anybody can get to Donald Trump and get us a NAFTA deal, I'm all for it, because I'm very worried about the jobs. And my own son is in the automotive industry.
Mm-hmm.
And our housing markets will drop 40%. I don't know whether the people realize just how serious we are. Serious it is, and also
no, I don't think so. I don't think most people are aware of what could happen. If you listen back to our conversation with Dennis DeRosier,
yes,
the automotive expert, the analyst in mm-hmm. this country,
yes,
he pointed such a terrifying picture of what would happen to us economically,
right,
if a 25% tariff were placed on cars entering the United States from Canada by the Trump administration.
Yes,
it would
Roy,
be massive on both sides of the border.
Roy, one other thing I would like to say.
Yeah?
I believe the media absolutely causes a lot of these problems in the United States and Canada. The media is no friend of any conservative. They are all liberal, and they're supporting the liberal whatever the liberals do. I mean, they made fun of Stephen Harper. They called him control freaks.
Yep.
Every other name in the
book. My dear, I have to go. I thank you for the call, but I think by now you've probably imagined or at least found out or thought it through or it's occurred to you that I'm not a liberal. We will come back in just a minute.